Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Okay, so we're going to be speaking about Christ-like humility. You know, that word in itself says a lot, and it's quite interesting when you do a little bit of research into it, because I think, you know, even for myself, sometimes it's difficult to show humility because we put ourselves first. You know, we tend to become selfish. So I'm going to be speaking through Philippians 2, 1-8, ESV. So I'm going to read that portion of scripture, and then I'll start going through it, just so it's fresh. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That, like, when I started going through it, you know, you start to comprehend what the Lord did for us, and we start to understand what happened and why and how, and yet we find it so hard to put ourselves aside and grasp what he has for us and grasp what he wants us to do. Like Sally's word, be his hands and his feet and put his work first, put him first. Yet when we go and we read this and we start to understand what he's done for us, it's like, yo. Humble living in the light of Jesus's humble example. How often are we following that example wholeheartedly? We tend to find it hard to follow the example of Jesus, especially when it comes to our own self. We find it hard to put our own self aside. You know, I often have an example where I say, you know, the Holy Spirit is our GPS, and Jesus is the map. He's our example. He's what we need to be doing in life and how we need to be living our life. That is why his example is here for us to follow and to grab hold of. You know, we need to be emulating what Christ was here so that the people around us can see. We are to be the example of Christ for those around us. We are to walk in that. We all know that our example is Jesus. And Paul is explaining to the church at Philippi what example to follow. So, church on the way, are we following this example? Are we grabbing a hold of that and following it? That which Christ has placed before us. Not just when we are here, but in every aspect of our lives, in everything that we do, are we following his example? Are we setting an example for those around us? And if we are not setting a Christ-like example, what example are we setting? Where are we leading them? If we can go to 2 Corinthians 1:5, I'm also going to be reading out of ESV. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Do you know the comfort of love only Jesus can give? When you sit and you think about that, like you sit and you just take everything aside, just take everything away, and you just focus on that, and you focus on the comfort of love that only Jesus can give you, regardless of what you find yourself in, and regardless of the situation you find yourself in, are you finding that comfort of love that only Jesus can give? Or are we allowing, like when you're going through early morning fog and mist, are you allowing the world to create that fog and mist so you cannot see the light? Next verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Again, he comforts us. He comforts our hearts. Are we allowing him to comfort us? Or is it a case of, don't worry, Lord, I'm cool, I'm tough, I'm strong? Because that's the world, that's the way the world has shown us what to do. The world shows us, don't show your weakness. Don't allow others to help you. You need to forge forward and build your empire. You need to be strong. You need to be the one to comfort. Or are we allowing Christ to comfort us? The word says he comforts us, but if we do not allow him, he cannot. Spurgeon once said, the Holy Spirit consoles, but Christ is the consolation. If I may use the figure, the Holy Spirit is the physician and Christ is the medicine. There's so many examples of how they use the Holy Spirit and Christ. And you know what? Every example, you sit and you read it and you're going, yo, Lord, where am I stopping you from allowing you to be the medicine in my life? Holy Spirit, what is hindering you from being the physician in my life? We need to be asking the Lord these things in our quiet time so that he can reveal them to us, so we can work through those things. If we can go to 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. How's the pattern here? God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort. There is no way he cannot comfort us, and no circumstance beyond his comfort. But this is more than comfort, This is the comfort of love. We need to be experiencing that comfort of love. We need to be grabbing a hold of it. We need to be allowing our Lord Jesus Christ to comfort us in every situation. You know, it's like even for myself, sometimes when things go rough, you tend to put yourself in a corner and want to hide away from things and just allow your mind to go crazy. When in actual fact, we need to be turning to our Lord. We need to be allowing Him to comfort us. And we've got so many around us as well that we can turn to and speak to so that we can have fellowship with those people around us. And in that, God works. God speaks. God comforts us. Now, we also see that unity is key. We see that we need to be of the same mind and having the same love. The mind of Christ Jesus and the same love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have the mind of Christ Jesus? Are we working in unity with our Lord Jesus Christ, ourselves and as a body? We need to be a complete unit for Christ. Not just ourselves, but as a body. So I just want to read 1 to 5 again, Philippians 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's ours in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to have a look at this aspect of selfish ambition. And Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. This is the first step to this kind of unity. In the flesh, we are often motivated by selfish ambition or conceit. Much of what we do is done out of love for others, much of what we do is not done out of love for others, but out of our own desire for advancement or promotion to get ahead. That's selfish ambition. Maybe I can help this person because that person can help me. Why must I feed the poor because the poor can't help me? Are we looking at it from an aspect of what that person can do for me is important, so let me do something for that person? Or are we just doing it just because? Just because that person needs it. Regardless of what it does for us, regardless of how we feel, that person is in dire need of something. Let me do it. Let me help them. Now, Paul said selfish ambition. Why? Not all ambition is selfish ambition. Good ambition is that which is Christ-focused. Are we focusing our ambition on Christ and His work and what He has for us? Or are we focusing our ambition on me, myself, and I? Let nothing be done through conceit. This is the second step to this kind of unity. Conceit is thinking too highly of oneself, of having an excessive self-interest and self-preoccupation. It could be more literally translated, empty glory. You know, I was reading through these things and I was making my notes and I was putting everything down and I'm going, oh, man, I fall short of so many of these things. Eh? And in actual fact, in every aspect, my ambition should be focused on God. Not on making money at the end of the month so I can get paid. Yes, it's important. But where does my ambition lie? Is it focused on success? Is it focused on what I can gain? Or is it focused on Christ? Is it focused on people that need? The dictionary definition of conceit is an excessively favorable opinion of one's own ability, importance, wit, and so forth. When we live with a feeling that we are so important or so able or so talented, we are out of God's will. We are working against the unity Paul pleaded with the Philippians to have. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is this like this? Why is that like that? But we tend not to look within to see, are we falling within the will of God? Or are we stepping out of that? This allows us to step out of it if we are focused on self and not focused on God. When we are focused on Him, when we are focusing our ambition on Him, we're stepping within His will. Here was an interesting thing. The Bible knows nothing of the idea that we should and must carry ourselves with an attitude of confidence, superiority in every situation. The world thinks we should. We need to be confident and we need to be superior to everybody around us. Is that the right way to live our lives? It's not a Christ-like way. Now, as we esteem others better, so as we place others better than ourselves, we will naturally have a concern for their needs and concerns. So just by putting them above ourselves, it will just become a natural reaction to worry about, are they okay? Do they have? Is there something I can help you with? Do you need anything? Do you need prayer? Can I carry you through this difficult time? Can I pray you through this difficult time? That's by putting others above ourselves. This sort of outward looking mentally, naturally leads to a unity among the people of God. If I consider you above me and you consider me above you, then a marvelous thing happens. We have a community where everyone is looked up to and no one is looked down on. Picture that. Picture the effect it will have within our body if we all look at each other above ourselves. Picture what would happen in our community. It's a beautiful picture to actually see. Imagine if South Africa could turn around and we could start putting each other above ourselves. Imagine what our country would be like. Imagine the way we would go forward in life. Imagine God's hand over that. I just want to turn to Hebrews 5:8, ESV. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. So now we start going into the humility side. Now, I found this saying by Spurgeon: the lower he stoops to save us, the higher we ought to lift him in our adoring reverence. Blessed be his name. He stoops and stoops and stoops. And when he reaches our level and becomes man, he still stoops and stoops lower and deeper yet. And yet we find it hard to put ourselves aside and hold on to him and be humble in him and be focused on him and not ourselves. So when we look at Philippians 2:6-8 again, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So he did humble himself. And he was humble in that he took the form of man and not a more glorious creature. He was humble in that he was born into an obscure, oppressed place. He was humble in that he was born in poverty among a despised people. He was humble in that he was born as a child instead of appearing as a man. He was humble in submitting to obedience appropriate to a child in a household. He was humble in learning and practicing a trade and a humble trade of a builder. He was humble in the long wait until he launched into public ministry. He was humble in the companions and disciples he chose. He was humble in the audience he appealed to and the way he taught. He was humble in the temptations he allowed and endured. He was humble in the weakness, hunger, thirst, and tiredness he endured. He was humble in his total obedience to his heavenly Father. He was humble in his submission to the Holy Spirit. He was humble in choosing and submitting to the death on the cross. He was humble in the agony of his death. He was humble in the shame, mocking, and public humiliation of his death. And he was humble in enduring the spiritual agony of sacrifice on a cross. You know, even though I've gone through this many times, even as I read it now, it's still like, Lord, you were humble in so much, so much. Please help me to be humble in so much. We can imagine that it was possible for the Son of God to become man and pay for the sins of the world without this great humiliation. Yet, he humbled himself and went through that. He humbled himself and did it for surpassing greatness of our salvation and his work for us. He went through all that for us. So what about our Christ-like humility? How are we humbling ourselves? And you know, he humbled himself so much to the point of death, even death on the cross. And this states the extent of Jesus' humility and obedience. When we have a look at the death on the cross, we're going to read Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, ESV. And it says there, "His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God has that your Lord your God is giving you for inheritance." And then we have a look at Galatians 3:13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" That hit hard. "Crucifixion was such a shameful death that it was not permitted for Roman citizens. A victim of crucifixion was considered by the Jews to be particularly cursed by God," as we've just read. Robertson called the death of the cross the bottom rung in the ladder from the throne of God. And Jesus came all the way down to the most despised death of all, a condemned criminal on the cross. Even the death of the cross shows that there is no limit to God, what God will do to demonstrate his love and saving power for us. This was and forever will be the ultimate. What must sin have been in the sight of God when it required such abasement in Jesus Christ to make an atonement for it and undo its influence in malignity? Hey? So we look at these things and we start to see these things and we start to understand these things and we understand Christ-like humility. And we need to be striving for Christ-like humility. We shouldn't be striving for what the world says, and we shouldn't be striving for appreciation from the people around us, and we shouldn't be striving for approval from the people around us. We should be striving for approval from God. If we make a concerted effort to put those around us above ourselves, can you imagine how things would change in our own life? Imagine how God can work in our lives just by doing that. So I want to challenge you guys today to make a concerted effort into that, to put others above ourselves. To walk with Christ-like humility. Are we willing to do that for our Lord Jesus Christ when we start to understand and we start to see what he did for us? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to put everything aside and just focus on that? Amen. So I'm going to leave that with you guys. And I really do hope that what has been said today is rooted here. Because as I've gone through it, it's definitely been rooted in me. And it's definitely something I want to work on. So I want to pray for you guys. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God, and for what you have done for us, Lord, as a human race, Father. And Lord, we know you love us unconditionally. And we just want to come before you today, Father God, and we just want to lay everything out before you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to say sorry, Father, for the things that we have done that are not of you, Father God. Lord, we want to fall under your will, Lord. We want to do what is required of us by you. We want to follow the footsteps that you have placed before us for our lives. And we want to fulfill your plans and your purposes, Lord, not ours. And we ask that today for each and every one of us here, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for each and every person here, Lord. You love them. You love them so much, so very much. And we just want to say thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to ask if there's anybody that perhaps hasn't given their heart to the Lord and would like to commit their lives to Jesus today, even those of you that might be on YouTube or Facebook, if you can just pray after me. Lord, I give my life to you today, every aspect of me, Lord. I open my heart to you, Father God, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you dwell within me. Lord, that I can reflect you, Father God, and that I can put everything that was aside, Lord, to have everything of you, Father. Lord, I lay my life down today for you, every aspect of my life. And I give it to you today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. I hope you guys have an awesome Sunday. And at least tomorrow is a public holiday, so we get to sleep late tomorrow. Woo! It sounds like I'm the only one sleeping late tomorrow. But thank you very much, guys. And we love each and every one of you and appreciate each and every one of you. You guys must have a blessed Sunday. And take care. And let's put others before us. Amen. Thank you very much.